48 pairs of square brackets. That's all that stands in the way of a global agreement on climate change in Paris. Yes, just 48 points of disagreement remain in the latest draft text at COP21. And if you think that seems like a lot to get through, it is a lot to get through. On the final day of the conference, bear in mind there were 1,609 of them to start with. So they have actually narrowed them down. Joining me from Paris is the leader of the Australian Greens, Richard Di Natale. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning or good evening your time.
Yeah, good time to us all. The French Foreign Minister says the latest draft text brings us extremely close to the finishing line. Julie Bishop says it's more like 80% there. What's your assessment?
Oh, it's probably somewhere in between that. I think they're close, but there are some pretty significant hurdles to get over. I think there's a strong sense of goodwill and a feeling that we do need to emerge from this 2 weeks with a significant agreement, and there would be, I think, a tremendous disappointment if we didn't get there. So I'm cautiously optimistic about the fact that we'll have a good foundation from which to build.
What, in your view, is the biggest hurdle that still remains?
I think it's this division between the developing nations and developed nations, and that runs through, for example, the climate financing issue. We're asking nations who are going through industrialisation to use a different pathway to the pathway that developers have used with cheap and abundant fossil fuels. And what comes with that is a responsibility to make sure we have the technology transfer and the finances to ensure that they make that transition smoothly. And so this disagreement about financing, there's some concern about how often the reviews need to take place. This agreement doesn't come into effect until 2020, so when is the first review that occurs after that in terms of the targets? So there are, I think, some areas where there is disagreement. Some language about the long-term goals, whether we're going to have a goal to decarbonise our economy and what sort of time frame. So there's some of the, I think, key issues that are still being discussed.
And the latest text commits countries to a 2-degree temperature rise above pre-industrial levels. It also says countries will pursue efforts to limit the temperature increase to 1.5 degrees. You've cast doubt on the ability to stay below 2 degrees. So what is the value of the 1.5 degree reference?
No, I haven't cast doubt on us being able to achieve 1.5. I've cast doubt on us being able to achieve it on the current trajectory we're on. 1.5 degrees, which I have to say is a very significant inclusion in the text. I think most people coming into this thought it was unlikely there would be a reference to a 1.5 degree temperature target, because what that means is much more ambitious action on climate change. It means moving away from coal and doing that much more rapidly than most people in countries like Australia, I think, want to do, and certainly under this government. So that 1.5 degree target, we will reach that only if we move fairly rapidly away from coal. Certainly that means an end to new coal exports. It means having a transition away from coal-fired power generation and a real expansion in renewable energy, and to get those settings right so that we increase the renewable energy target, we start looking at those levers that will drive more investment in wind and solar. And so that's the big challenge for Australia. If this agreement gets over the line, as I hope and think it will, then we have a big challenge ahead of us to really transform our economy, to take advantage of the huge opportunities that are emerging from this agreement. And that's one of the great things about being here, Patricia, is you see that business and local government are really excited by what opportunities are thrown up here in decarbonising our economy, the investment and jobs that comes with renewables. And the challenge for Australia is, will they embrace or will they continue to stick to the past and watch these opportunities pass them by?
On RN Drive, my guest is the Australian Greens leader, Richard Di Natale. He's in Paris for the COP21 talks, and I understand they've been extended for another day into Saturday for a deal to be made. Council Chief, Tim Flannery, is in Paris, and he says Australia has played a constructive role. Richard, is he right?
Well, I certainly haven't played the spoiler role I've played in the past, and I think there is a very strong sense of relief here that Tony Abbott's not here and playing interference. So I think we're getting a lot of credit from that. Tim may have made his comments earlier in the week. We were the recipient of the Fossil of the Day Award. That's the award that goes to the country who does the least to build on the ambition that's included in these talks. And we received that because Julie Bishop gave a speech where she said that coal was important to alleviating hunger. So when you have that sort of language in the midst of a climate negotiation where most countries are talking about what level of ambition they want around renewables, tells you a little bit about where Australia is at. And we're still near the back of the pack, but we are getting some credit for at least not actively undermining any agreement.
On RN Drive, you're listening to the Greens leader, Richard Di Natale. What do you make of these climate talks? Do you think we will end up with a deal by Saturday? 0418 226 576. That's our number. I'd love it if you could text us. You can also tweet us at RN Drive if that is your preferred way of communicating with us. Richard, you've been in Paris as an observer. So what have you been doing? Have you been criticising the government's domestic policies and emissions targets in that international stage or playing a more supportive role?
Well, I've a number of things, Patricia. I've met with a number of business leaders here, both Australian and international business leaders, to talk about what they think the blueprint for building on this agreement needs to look like. I've given a number of talks. I spoke with the foreign minister and with the opposition climate spokesperson at a large talk on the future of climate policy, what it means in terms of the Australian context, building carbon markets and so on. So I've given a number of presentations. I've met with my global Greens counterparts. There are Green leaders right around the country. In fact, in a few hours, I'm meeting with some of the Green leaders in Germany, New Zealand, the European Parliament, Canada and so on. So it's an opportunity as part of one of the only parties that is really a global movement. We're meeting to look at how we can assist and support each other to continue to build on renewable energy policies and so on. I have to say, when you talk to the German Greens, for example, about the fact that Australia, under the coalition government, has cut its carbon price, its renewable energy target, we have this ridiculous wind commissioner, the look of disbelief is remarkable. I mean, the world sees Australia and what we've done with climate policy over the past few years with really a sense of disbelief. But it has been very, very constructive. As I said, it's an opportunity really to look at what the rest of the world is doing and just so far out of kilter Australia is on this issue. And I firmly believe this is a century that belongs to those countries that embrace this opportunity to transform their economy, to create jobs and build investment in renewable energy. And Australia really does risk being left behind in that, and we will lose the huge advantages that we have in terms of transforming our economy.
I'm going to leave it there. I want to thank you for joining us, and let's hope there is an agreement by tomorrow. We'll see. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Patricia.
And that's Senator Richard Di Natale. He's the leader of the Australian Greens, joining us from COP21 climate talks in Paris. Well, they've extended those talks by a day because they can't get a deal. They've narrowed it down, but there are some significant sticking points still. What do you think? Will we end up with a deal, or will this be a disappointing outcome? Is that something that you perhaps feel or fear? 0418 226 576. That's our number here at RN Drive.